Don't ever let anyone tell you who you are. Don't ever do it. It's going to be the subject of what we're going to talk about today. Welcome to Joel.live. I am Joel. I am live, and you are welcome to the replay. Those of you just coming in, love to hear from you. Please do share the broadcast. You guys know how to do that. Real simple. Just right there underneath the thingamajigger. Share. Just push the share button. Glad to see you as always. And using BeLive.tv to go live as a brand ambassador for BeLive.tv. I've been a fan for, oh gosh, I think we're approaching 2 years now that I've been using BeLive to go live to Facebook. Still my choice of tools where you can have up to four people on screen at one time, up to three guests. You can screen share, which you'll see me do a little bit. You could have elegant lower thirds. You could have some super cool comment features, and it goes live to wherever you want on Facebook, whether it's your personal page or this, the Be Live page that we're on right now, or to a group or to an event. In fact, if you're joining us because you're seeing this shared elsewhere and you want to comment, in order to do that, you need to come to the place that this video is originating from, which is the Be Live TV page. So if you go to facebook.com/BeLive TV app, you will find yourself there. That's simple, easy to do. Now, before I bring my guests in, I want to make a distinguish between two things. I want to distinguish between motivation and inspiration. Now, from where I stand, motivational speaking and teaching isn't a real thing. And I'm going to explain why. I'm not dissing on any particular people. I'm saying that motivation is something that has to come from inside. It just, by its very definition, you cannot push somebody to do something else unless it's under threat of punishment. That is a motivation. Fear is a motivation, but it's not the type of motivation that we're talking about. The motivation that we need to make changes in our lives, to overcome obstacles, to overcome addictions, to take steps that we really want to enhance our lives. That's because we need to be inspired. Inspirational speaking, writing, training. That's what has an impact, because I can't give you real motivation other than fear-based motivation, but I can inspire you. And when you inspire somebody, you either stoke the flame that's already in them, or you help them find the embers that are in there, that you can fan that to create that inner motivation. And so, not a big fan of motivational speaking, but a big fan of inspirational speaking, because I think that lasts. And my guest today is incredibly inspiring. I've just had ancillary conversations with him online. I'm super excited to see the reach that his inspiration is having, because I think he's just getting started. He's 19 years old, and his story is absolutely phenomenal. Brandon Farbstein is his name, although some people call him Brad. They drop the N. We're going to find out why that is. He's made a name for himself as a speaker, as an inspirational speaker. He is Generation Z, considers himself an activist. And what's really unique about Brandon that's given him this platform is that he was diagnosed with a very rare form of dwarfism at the age of 2. He, now fully grown, is 3'9". And that means he's had to overcome a lot of physical issues, health issues, and I'm sure a lot of emotional issues, because people can be really mean and nasty to people who are not like themselves. And he gave a TEDx talk at, I believe, the age of 15, which, if you haven't watched it yet, you're going to want to watch this thing. That's enough me talking. Welcome to Joel.live, Mr. Brandon Farbstein.
What's up, my friend? Good to see you.
Hey, good to see you as well. You actually wrote me, I think, like a year ago on Instagram. I don't know if you were following me or if I posted something, what it was, but you sent out a connection, and you know, we finally connected, and I've been doing some research on what you're doing right now. And you're a young man, and you're already having this massive impact at reaching others. How does that feel?
It's incredibly fulfilling, but it goes more than that because it truly wakes me up every single day. And at such a young age, to know what your purpose is and what your mission every single day needs to be is truly something that makes life extraordinary.
Now, you know, there are norms in human size, and then there are people on the edges. There's some super tall people, and a lot of them go on to play basketball. Right. And then there's other people that are super short. And, right. you know, at a young age, you were dwarfed with what is the actual name for the disorder?
So my condition, a rare form of dwarfism, is called metatropic dysplasia. So I said rare, but I'll give it a little bit of context. There are only 100 cases of my specific condition reported in medical history ever. So when you think about the sheer number of that, the billions and billions of people that are in the medical books, and to be one of 100, obviously is something that's very cool, but it also comes with a life of uncertainty. So I've had to conquer that at a very young age, but I'm so lucky that I know what I know now, because through the adversity and the experiences that have come my way, it's made me into the man that I am today. And I'm not trying to sound cliche, but I truly believe that every single thing that we experience is meant to be in our path for a reason.
Well, besides the, you know, what we see with our eyes that's obvious to us, what are some of the distinguishing characteristics of this really rare disorder?
So those who have a severe form of it, which I'm incredibly blessed to not, they usually pass away before the age of 5 because their spine grows into the shape of a C, which ends up crushing their internal organs. I'm not trying to be graphic, but that's the truth of what it is. So I'm very lucky that really the only health conditions I have are physical pain every day on my joints, and I have trouble walking long distances sometimes, but I've learned to adapt, and I've also learned to innovate my own solution and seek out the answers to the various challenges that I've had in my life. And doctors don't really have those answers. So I also need to be my own self-advocate and speak up when I know something isn't right and find out how to find a solution for it.
So was I right that you gave your TED talk, the first one, at 15?
Yeah. So that was the very first talk that I had ever given. And that also is the first time that I shared my story publicly. And to be honest, that was the start of the rest of my life, because it was in that one moment that I discovered my purpose and my passion. And it made everything that I had gone through and continued to go through worth it, because it gave me something to use as fuel to not only propel me forward, but to empower the world around me as well.
Well, you know, you have the gift, right? That natural ability to storytell and to stand before people and just, you know, communicate. And it really is a superb gift. And in this particular video, which again, you guys need to check this out, is just look up Brandon Farbstein on YouTube and TED Talk and you'll find it. You rode out on your Segway, you know, which made you 4.5 feet tall.
Yeah.
But you told the story of how, you know, trying to find solutions to deal with some of the obstacles you had. You went to your mom, you said, I want a Segway. And your dad said, well, you want this, figure it out. So what did you do?
So I created my own online fundraising platform. It was called Help Brad Move. And you mentioned in the intro that some people call me Brad. That was my nickname when I was a kid. So I stuck with it. And I created a campaign to raise money by myself. I definitely had my parents' support, but obviously $10,000 throwing to a mobility device is a little much for the average person. So I created my own solution and I made it happen.
Yeah, and it's great. Now, you don't use a wheelchair at all. You use this device.
Yeah. And the really cool thing is I was one of the pioneers behind using this technology for different abilityed people as a tool. And it's very cool how the trend has kind of taken place now. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but as you know, by being in technology and innovation, when you are behind something and you start to be a leader and have people follow what you do, it's a pretty cool feeling.
Aaron just made a comment, which I'm sure you'll find impactful. He says he's an 8-year post-stroke, half-paralyzed, wheelchair-bound stroke survivor, and it's been an awesome journey of passion. Yeah, no doubt. So, you know, with this recent Gillette commercial that came out, there's been a lot of, you know, refocusing on bullying, right? Yes. And this was in relation to women in particular, which is definitely an issue. But bullying is an issue across, you know, both genders. And because you are not, you know, in that bell curve, not somewhere in the middle in terms of size, I'm sure you faced a lot of it when you were younger and probably still now from people. But tell us, what was it like, you know, growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're so right. Every single person, no matter what challenges, visible or not, that they have, will experience both spectrums of bullying. And for me, it became so severe starting freshman week of high school. And so, yeah, the very first week of high school, I became essentially the number one target on my high school of 1,500 kids. And it was hell every single day. And it went from making jokes about my size to saying I'm the ugliest human being that these people have ever seen. They started taking pictures and videos of me in the hall, threatening to kick me and knock me off my Segway, because when you're 3'9" and everybody towers over you, it's a better idea to be a little bit raised up. And that Segway was a great tool for that. But that was the wrong attention that I was receiving, because everybody in high school wants to be the same. They don't want the attention all on them. But I also learned that was my superpower. And I'll get back to that in a second. But it got so severe that halfway through junior year, I started receiving a new death threat every single week. And it was...
Who does that? What kind of human being does that?
Miserable, insecure people that have to spread their own hurt onto easy targets like me. And so it was affecting every aspect of my life, as you can imagine. And I made the decision, along with my parents' support, to get out of that school environment and start online school. And it ended up being one of the greatest gifts that I could have asked for. And here's why. Because at the age of 17, not only did I become a professional speaker and get to start traveling all over, giving talks and empowering hundreds of thousands of people at a time, but I was also able to use my story to enact legislation in the state of Virginia on anti-bullying. And to date, I've gotten 2 anti-bullying laws passed just because I chose to speak up, to share my truth, and to say this isn't right and we need to do something about it.
Wow. You know, there's a saying that a life well lived is the best revenge. And not that you would, I'm sure, you know, I can see your heart already. You're not seeking revenge on these people who are wounded that bullied you, but you know, they've got to be looking now at themselves and, you know, what they did. Has anybody from your, you know, your younger childhood, because I mean, you're 19 now, right? You're still, you're a young man, but you know, your prefrontal cortex is still wiring for the next 5-6 years. And as you enter into adulthood, but you know, has anybody from your earlier teens come back to you and said, you know, really sorry, I was a dick?
Yeah, there have been a few. And I must say, not only did that mean an immense amount for me, but it also showed me the why behind it. I started hearing from these kids on their stories, whether it was they were getting severely bullied to the point where they wanted to kill themselves, or it was that they had an abusive family at home and they didn't know how to channel their pain. But everybody has that hurt. And unfortunately for these kids and for bullies in general, they choose to channel all of that pain into something that is so toxic and ends up making them feel worse. But until somebody steps in front of them to make them realize that's not how to handle things and to show them how much pain that they're causing for other people, it's going to continue, especially into adulthood. So at this point in my life, I'm incredibly focused on trying to reach as many young people as possible, not only to share my story and inspire and empower them, but to show them how much impact they can have, and their actions truly do have consequences, both on the positive and negative side of things.
For those of you just joining, I'm with Brandon Farbstein. Brandon is the author of this book right here, 10 Feet Tall, Step Into Your Truth and Change Your Freaking World. You can go ahead and find that on Amazon.com. And of course, this is impactful stuff. This is inspirational. You know, you're here in the middle of your day, and this might be just the pick-me-up that you need to overcome some of the struggles that you're dealing with in your life. So please do share that that we're live right here. So, you know, everybody has their challenges.
Right.
With some of us, it's visible. But what is it that you've learned about people in general that, you know, even if you can't see what their challenges might be physically?
Well, the thing is, when we acknowledge the things that we're struggling with, you know, our shortcomings, that's where true human connection comes from. When you're authentic, when you're genuine, and when you're vulnerable. So when I shared my story for the very first time, I didn't know what the hell the response was going to be. But afterwards, I started having, there were 2,000 people in the audience, and I had probably 20% or 30% of them come up to me afterwards, some of them with tears in their eyes, thanking me for uncovering something that they buried deep down or making a minuscule shift in their own perception of how they see themselves. All these different factors just prove to me that we as human beings have way more in common than we do that makes us differentiating. And if we use those shortcomings as our differentiating factors, as the things that will make us stand out to our greatest advantage, and I think I'm a great example of that, the results in life that we achieve are so incredibly fulfilling and extraordinary.
Isn't this one reason that, you know, racism is so ridiculous? I mean, we're all human beings. And, you know, we all have a head and eyes and nose, a mouth and hands. Our internal systems know no color. You know, you can't tell the race of a person from their lungs or their heart or their bones or their muscles. We all have hopes, dreams, fears, wishes, aspirations, pain and loss. And this one thing, our skin pigmentation that makes us different, it creates this weird, bizarre dividing line. Speak to that.
You know, I think people, not just in racism, I'm glad you brought that up, but I think all of these things in terms of bullying, discrimination, racism, homophobia, it all stems from fear, in my opinion. Whether it's a notion that you have that is misconstrued, or it's another factor in your life that made you go down a tangent of seeing something that you thought was reality but is far from it. In my opinion, that's why it's so rampant. But also, social media's culture today, unfortunately, is disconnecting us more than it is connecting us. And I think that's something that you definitely could agree with. But when we're able to put more emphasis on trying to make those connections, trying to acknowledge and praise the things that truly do set us apart, but also connect us at the same time, then I think that's a huge factor in eliminating a lot of the issues we have, and especially having empathy, not sympathy, because feeling sorry for somebody else is not going to get you or them any farther than you were. But being able to try and understand what it's like in their shoes and in their situation, you're able to have compassion and kindness. And that's what the world needs the most right now.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I do. I have a 21-year-old sister.
And none of the same issues medically?
I am the only one.
Huh. It's super interesting. Well, you know, you're incredibly bright and you've got this super big heart, which, you know, do you ever wake up anymore and go, I wish that I was 5'10"? Or are you just like, I'm really glad that I'm 3'9"?
You know, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't have days like that anymore, but I definitely have moments like that. This is not to draw any guilt or sympathy, but life in my shoes is nothing close to being easy. And that especially comes to be in some situations more than others. But at the end of the day, what I know is this: I was put here in this universe with all of the different things that make me who I am for a reason. And like I mentioned before, I'm so lucky that I know what that reason is and that it wakes me up every single day. But what we all should know is when we're able to use what we've been given to create the greatest human being that we are at our core, we are able to have a life that is truly full of limitless possibilities. Our perception gets so skewed sometimes because of the things that come our way. And it's hard to get out of that cycle of pain, of hurt, of negativity. But sometimes all we have to do truly is open our eyes just a little bit and realize every single thing that we've been able to deal with up until this point has been us overcoming. That shows that human beings are freaking unstoppable. This is not some motivational BS. This is the truth. And we have to acknowledge that we have so much courage, so much strength inside of us, and absolutely nobody or no situation has been able to take that away from us to get to this point. I don't think that's a mistake.
I don't think so either. Have you read David Goggins' book yet?
Mm-mm.
It's called Can't Hurt Me.
Okay.
And I think you will absolutely love it. For anybody who's listening, if you want to read the story of another person who's overcome to become the baddest badass, and you remind me of him on a different path, because you are a badass. You're like, hey, this is what I've got, and this is my experience, and I'm going to use this to change the world and to affect people's lives. So I asked you a hypothetical question, and I want to dig a little deeper on that before we move on. Are the times that you wish you weren't dealing with your natural size here because of the ancillary physical issues, you know, the pain that, you know, you sometimes experience and other physical ailments, or is it purely because of size? In other words, if you didn't have any other physical issues to go along with being 3'9", how would you feel?
It's definitely the size factor. The universe doesn't. So I'll frame it this way. There are way more people in this world that spread love, positivity, and kindness than there are those assholes who do nothing but try and bring other people down and spread more hurt. So that being said, though, those assholes still exist. And when I have those moments of wishing that I wasn't dealing with everything that I have to, it's because of how people react to me, whether it be exclusion, it be harassment, you know, all these different things. But truly, I just have to acknowledge the fact that I am who I am. I can't change that. And it's not up to anybody else to determine what my course of action in life is going to be. Mm. I create my own definition of myself. I am in the driver's seat, and we truly all have to remember that.
You know, I'm average physically in every way. I'm 5'10" with a size 10.5, you know, foot, and I'm about 200 pounds, which actually probably isn't average. It's probably above. I probably need to lose some weight. I was bullied, you know, as a child, and it was for other reasons. And I think so many people can relate to that. I would imagine that you've got guys, sometimes I'll walk through a doorway and think, wow, I'm glad I'm not, you know, 6'6" or taller, because I'd always be ducking to keep from bumping my head. And I guess we've all got something to overcome. Are you going to school still? I mean, you graduated high school, right? So college?
So while we're on the basis of being fully transparent, I'll tell you this. So I started my first semester of college a few months ago, back in August, and I had the mindset, because I am such a badass, that I'd be able to balance both lives, where I could continue the incredible success that I've had up until this point with my speaking, and I could be a full-time college student. That was the farthest bit from reality. And for whatever reason, the first week of university, the opportunities that started coming in my inbox just skyrocketed. It's like I had to walk in one door in order to access the other. And so that was a gift in itself, because if I had continued, okay, I have to step back a little bit. So I'll tell you what decision I made. I left after my first semester. So about a month ago, I made the decision that this is the path in life that I need to focus on. I'm never going to have as many opportunities or as much energy as I have at 19 years old. And it would be selfish of me to not put 100% of my heart and dedication into fulfilling this mission every single day. So that obviously is the unconventional path. But what my generation is doing an incredible job of is proving that you don't have to follow the conventional path in order to be successful in life. Whatever that means for you, it's your own definition, because we each have a path that needs to be uniquely ours. And when we try and fit society's mold or somebody else's mold for us, we have a life of misery and unfulfillment. And I believe that's the ultimate failure.
I have some serious problems with our higher education system as it is. I don't think it's absolutely necessary. Now, obviously, if Brandon, if you decide you want to be a doctor, you know, or a lawyer, right, a nuclear physicist, or, you know, something like that,
yeah, absolutely,
you're probably going to need to go get an education.
Right.
But we, it's just, it's not required. I have a college degree. I've never used it. I wasted my 4 years partying on my parents' dime. And I'm sure I learned some practical things that I probably apply today. And I'm sure the life experience that I received also helps me. But guess what? Those 4 years, I would have received other life experience had I been out in the world building up my business early. So I don't think it's for everybody. And, you know, the good news is, as long as God gives you breath, if you decide you ever want to, you can.
It's there.
Did you have in your mind a career path of something that you wanted to do?
When I was entering college, honestly, this is my dream job. And so I had a very unique situation going into it, because people usually go into higher education to try and find their life path. So I already knew my situation was going to be very unique and probably wasn't going to fit everybody else's path. But I just realized that the amount of education that I'm learning in the real world every single day, getting to do what I do and having such a platform where I'm meeting people every single day from all around the world, that is way more than I could ever learn in a classroom. And some people may disagree with that, but some people are not me. This is my life. This is my decision. And honestly, I get judgment every single day. So I'm used to it and I'm okay with it.
You've developed some really thick skin, I'm sure, because there's got to be haters. You know, they're jealous. Yes. They're not doing what you're doing. In fact, one of the quotes that comes to me is something David Goggins said in Can't Hurt Me, is that don't listen to the voices of people who aren't trying what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I love that.
Spot on, isn't it? I want to show your website so that you guys can go here and check this out. The website is BrandonFarbstein.com, but if you're a friend of hers, you can, your friend of his, you can call him Brad. So there's, if you want to book him to speak, and there's videos here for him. I don't see, where's the link to your book though?
It should be on another, but it's not on the homepage.
Okay. In the book, 10 Feet Tall, Step Into Your Truth and Change Your Freaking World. I love that you included that word freaking in there, because it shows your personality and who you are and just how passionate you are about what you're teaching. It's real.
Totally. And I appreciate that. Again, it's another thing that doesn't fit society's average type of mold. And that's what I love. And it's cool to, it doesn't have the shock factor that a lot of the bolder books like Un-F Yourself or whatever these other ones are has, but the appeal that I want to have at this point has a big emphasis on young people, in addition to all the adults that I get to serve as well. So I tried to find a balance between that. So it was, I'm proud of it. I think it works well.
Your parents must be super proud. They probably never saw this coming, right? Or maybe they did. Maybe you were taking center stage at 7 years old and delivering soliloquies in the family living room. I don't know.
You know, something close to that. At the age of 8, I started acting. And so I definitely think that's why I have so many gifts that I can tap into with my stage presence and my ability to be fearless in front of whatever the number of people is. But when you are acting as a character, it is a whole different world than stepping out as yourself. And I truly learned the power of sharing your story and being vulnerable with that TED talk that I gave. And the more and more that I do it, it truly connects me to everybody else around me. And I'm constantly telling my audiences, the more that you can share your story, the more fulfilling the relationships in your life will be, no matter what age you are.
You're one of 100 in the world with this particular disorder. And that means the people that you're speaking to, the odds of encountering somebody else like this in an audience are very, very minuscule. However, you encounter all kinds of issues that people are having that
Right.
you are there to inspire. What have you discovered is the common factor amongst all of these people that you're speaking to that come to you afterwards and say, thank you, you've inspired me to do what?
So it's twofold. Number one, to answer the first part of your question, a lot of those people were a victim of their own story. And they were still stuck in the mindset of being hurt, of being stepped on, and they've stayed there for I don't know how many years that it's been for them. But number two, the impact that I have on people is not only being empowered to embrace who they are and to own their true self, but it's also to know that every single human being has the capability to make a profound impact on the world. And it truly starts with doing one thing every day. And whether that one thing is sending a text message to a friend that's going through a rough time, or it's donating money to charity, to help filter water in a third world country, whatever that is, the more of that that we can do, truly the way of change that we're able to make is growing and growing every single day.
And you can tell that Brandon is having an impact. I'm going to just put this up here. Here's his Instagram, 295,000 people following at Farbstein on Instagram. And I'm going to encourage you to consider changing your tagline from motivational speaker to inspirational, because I think that's what you are.
Right.
You light a fire in people that then creates that motivation that they need because they look at you and go, oh, if he can overcome the trials in his life, you know what? I think I can too. And you impart something to them that is potentially life-changing. Then it depends on whether or not people are at that place where they're ready to take action, right?
Correct.
It goes back to that joke, how many psychologists does it take to change a light bulb?
Right.
One, but the light bulb has to want to change.
Yes, absolutely. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, it takes getting to your breaking point in order to really understand that you have to make a change in your life. But it doesn't have to be so overwhelming. We in today's culture complicate every single thing. And life isn't this complicated. We have to understand sometimes the most minuscule shifts that we can make will have the most profound impact long term, whether it's getting out of a toxic relationship or it's changing your job to something that lights you up every single day. We truly don't have time to experience all of the shit that we allow ourselves to be in on a daily basis. I'm not saying that it's easy, but like I mentioned before, we are in the driver's seat for our own life path.
Well, nothing worth having is easy, right?
That's correct.
We have to fight for it. If it was, I think this is why the kids in high school that are the popular kids, and I remember them, they have everything handed to them. They get out in the real world and they struggle because all of a sudden people aren't handing things to them.
Right.
It's difficult.
Absolutely. For me, especially the community that I grew up in for all of my life, it's very sheltered. And unfortunately, the parents have the mentality that I'm going to try and shelter my kid from all of the problems that are going on in the world. And when they're an adult, they'll figure it out for themselves. But I don't want to taint their mind, or I don't want to expose them to all of these horrible things. Well, those are the kids that are going to turn to drugs because they can't handle how the real world actually is. Those are the kids that are going to end up being miserable human beings for the rest of their lives because they don't know what to do with themselves. So if we can truly have the mindset, like I mentioned, to teach empathy, but also to be authentic and share our truth and share the truth of how reality actually is, I think that's going to make a huge difference in the lives of those kids that end up being lost in their adult years.
So what does a typical week look like for you now? Are you speaking somewhere every week, or you're traveling a lot?
So there is no typical week. But that's also what's very cool, because I don't like doing the same thing every single day, status quo type thing. So last week, I'll give you an example. I was doing nothing but working on my computer the entire week. I didn't have any talks. I wasn't on the road. And then this week, I have 5 different speeches in the next 7 days. So, you know, it just shows you have to strike while the iron is hot, take advantage of the momentum. And that's something that I've learned to do, especially surrounding myself with an A team. I talk about this in the book, but your A team consists of people that adore you, that support you, and that love you for everything that you are, and will get you past all the adversity that you have. So not just having people that are rallying for me when I need them in times of darkness, but also people that help me level up, especially mentors and other people that I aspire to be like, whether it's close by or from afar, is something that has truly been a big catalyst of my success.
I'm wondering if, you know, of course, you're really happy doing what you're doing right now, and college is on the back burner because you're living your dream. But I'm wondering, is there something out there in the future that you're thinking, you know, I would aspire one day to do fill in the blank, something big?
Something bigger. Definitely have my own talk show, where not only am I able to have a platform to amplify my voice, but I'm also able to bring other people on that goes deeper than the superficial bullshit that unfortunately the entertainment world consists of today. But also, you don't see many people like me. And when I say like me, of different abilities, of a unique type of look in the mainstream media. And so I'm lucky that I have such a big platform at the moment, but I'm always looking to continue leveling up and building that, not for the followers, not for the fame, but for the impact that it has. And I think that vehicle of a talk show would be an incredible way to do so.
I do as well. I think you would be incredible. In fact, I have a friend that that deals with in the media, and if it's okay with you, I'm going to make an introduction and
I'd love see that.
If you guys could have a call, because you know, when you look at how people of smaller stature have been positioned in media. You know, there was a show about, what was it called? Little People, Big World, something like that, right? And yeah, you know, and people kind of watch that because they're not used to seeing that. But with you, once you get past that, okay, this person is not as tall as, you know, the average person, the substance that you have to bring and the heart behind it all is so much more impactful than turning on the stinking View or one of these other garbage shows that people, they I think watching those shows actually kills brain cells.
I'd agree, because when you think about it, all it is negativity and it's gossip. So if that's what you're filling yourself up with, not just watching TV, but especially online, if that's all that you see on social media, how do you expect to be happy? How do you expect to be positive? That's one of those things that's such a small change to make, to press unfollow or to press delete off your feed. And it truly makes a big difference.
You mean you don't want to keep up with the Kardashians?
Absolutely not.
You know, I think, and I've kind of analyzed this and wondered what is it that draws people. And I think on some level, we all know that we've got train wrecks in our own life, right? Some of them in our past, some of them coming, some of them a long time coming. And we look at people that we think are having a harder time, and we enjoy watching their train wreck instead of our own.
Right. Something that I've thought about lately, if we obsessed over understanding the person that we are as much as we obsess over other people's lives and how they live it and what they do, think about how much of a difference that would make in our own personal growth, in the things that we truly want most in life. It would go from here to exponentially shooting through the roof. That's not something that you have to go to rock bottom in order to realize. Personal growth can be something that you do every single day in terms of spending 5 minutes being mindful, being smart about who takes your time up, who gets your energy, the actions that you do every single day. It doesn't have to be you listening to three podcasts before you go to work. It doesn't have to be these big things to make large results happen.
Well, I know you're having a great time doing what you're doing, but as far as when you pull away from your mission and, participate in leisure activities, do you, are there movies or music or what do you like?
So this is going to be super geeky of me to say, but I always love learning more about how things operate, how people do what they do. So I'm obsessed with documentaries. So if you look at my Netflix history, it would just be full of documentaries. I definitely have some more brain cell killing shows that I watch occasionally just to get out of that like professional work mode. But
Okay, what kills your brain cells? Go ahead.
Family Guy is some, I don't think I've ever publicly said I watch it. But it's just one of those things like you have to have humor. You have to have things that make you laugh. So whether it's that or watching a stupid comedy that just makes you roll on the floor laughing, music is something that also I've always loved. And just to give you a quick story, I know you'll find this cool. So my grandmother, who passed away in 2013, was obsessed with Josh Groban, the singer. And since I was young, she always played his CDs and she was always talking about his music. And I actually got to meet Josh last month, and he invited me to his concert and to spend some time with him backstage. And it's just incredible how the universe works sometimes in bringing things into our life that just mean so much to us.
Was he as
So,
cool and humble in person as it seems he would be?
absolutely. I've met a lot of celebrities, and he's definitely one of the coolest ever, just because of how cultured he is and humble, which goes a long, long way.
Yeah. Are you impressed by celebrity at all, or are they just all people to you?
I'm not gonna lie, some people impress me. So Tony Robbins is somebody that I've idolized for the longest time since I aspired to be a speaker. After that TEDx talk, and I got to meet him for the first time in 2017, he invited me as his guest to one of his huge seminars, and that was an incredible moment. And that was somebody that I definitely didn't see as a person. I saw as like a somebody on a pedestal,
Larger than
but
life, yeah.
right, which he definitely is at like 6'9" or something. He's an absolute
That
giant.
must have been one hell of a handshake, right?
Yeah,
Because you've
I have
got
a
these
cool
monster
picture.
hands.
I have a really cool picture of when we were meeting and we were shaking hands, and it's almost like he's three versions of me. I'll send that to you. You'll get a kick out of it.
Would love to see it.
But the more and more that I meet people who are the most successful in the world, what I understand is this. There are people in this world that have it good from the start. Whether you receive a small loan of $1 million from your father to boost you up, or whether you are born into a family that has abundant resources. But that doesn't mean that life is going to be successful for you. You have to create your own success. You have to be the person that makes shit happen. And if you expect others to step in front of you and to act as the person to make your life in order, your life will never be in order. You will never get to achieve the things that you truly want in this lifetime. So yes, it's very cool to have a network full of very incredible people. But like you mentioned before, we are all human beings. And it truly doesn't matter what your platform is or what your title is. If you're not a good human being, then life will. Yeah, right, right. But I truly believe that the universe rewards people that spread good karma, not for the wrong reasons, of course, but those genuine people are the ones that are lit up every single day.
Boy, and on that note, I really thank you, Brandon, for your time. Here's the website, brandonfarbstein.com. You guys go bounce over there, check out what Brandon's got to show here. Follow him on Instagram and pick up a copy of this book, 10 Feet Tall, Step Into Your Truth. Change your freaking world. Brandon, dude, so much. I'm grateful for you coming on. Thank you for sharing your story with us.
Absolutely, my friend. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Ever anything I could do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out.
Appreciate it. Ditto, my friend. We'll chat soon.
And to those of you watching, thank you for joining us today here on BeLive.tv. Another show coming your way next week. Until then, hashtag it by do good.